good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, July 18, 2016. A prominent journalist is arrested in South Sudan for criticizing President Kiir and former rebel leader Riek Machar.
He was picked up on the basis of the recent national security law, which says that any citizen or journalist or otherwise or lay person who seems to incite any sentiment against the head of state would be deemed subversive and anti-state.
And Pope Francis sends one of his top envoys to Juba for meetings with South Sudanese leaders.
The solidarity is very important because there's care ultimately for the lives of people here. And that's what the Pope would wish to address, you know. So it's basically to tell the people of Sudan that we with you, we know what you're going through.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. A veteran South Sudanese journalist has been arrested by South Sudan National Security Agents. Alfred Taban, who owns the Juba Monitor newspaper, was picked up by security operatives on Saturday. Taban wrote an editorial last week calling for President Salva Kiir and first Vice President Riek Machar to step down in order to pave way for peace in South Sudan. Jock Madud Jock is the director of SAD Institute, a local Juba-based think tank. Madud says the arrest of Taban is unconstitutional. He says the journalist has been a freedom fighter and should be respected by the government. He also says Taban's arrest is a proof that the Kiir administration is openly silencing critics of the government.
In the last 3 years, the freedom of speech, freedom of expression, the freedom of journalists to travel and to report on events has been severely, severely constrained. And this is a serious violation of the basic constitutionally protected rights of the citizens of South Sudan. For example, journalists have been killed. In fact, last year, 2015, South Sudan experienced the death of 7 journalists. It was the highest number of journalists to die in a single country in a single year. On the arrest of Alfred Taban himself, somebody that we have all revered all the last 40 years, even as I was a schoolboy, I wanted to grow up to be like Alfred Taban, so that my voice can be heard over BBC. And then he struggled from within Khartoum during the heydays of Khartoum's aggression against South Sudanese, and yet Alfred Taban was right there on front lines, to not only to bring news, but to challenge the actions of the Sudanese state against South Sudanese. Nobody could say they did not know about Alfred Taban and what he has done for South Sudan. For him to now come and suffer in the hands of the people he has done so much to make free is unfathomable, and it is inexcusable, and there should be a nationwide outcry and campaign to release Alfred Taban, especially that he is very sick and quite advanced in age. There is just nobody with a single drop of tear in his eyes who would not want Alfred to be freed, and freed right away.
Yes. Do you know why he was picked by the National Security?
He was picked because he wrote an editorial in the Juba Monitor, which, by the way, is the child of the Khartoum Monitor, which he published in Khartoum. This past week, he wrote an editorial in which he called for the president and the first vice president to exit power, because everything going wrong in South Sudan has been going wrong under their watch and right under their noses, including the killing of people in Juba during this gunfight, including the violations of the ceasefire agreement, and including the fact that the country is broke and people have no purchasing capacity to live day to day. And so on the basis of his keen observation of how bad things have become, he said that since these top men are the ones who are leading our country, maybe they should step aside so that other people can try it. And for that, of course, he was picked up on the basis of the recent national security law, which says that any citizen or journalist or otherwise or lay person who seems to incite any sentiment against the head of state would be deemed subversive and anti-state. And so that is the basis on which Alfred was picked up.
You know, when I was covering the referendum in 2011, I asked a lot of South Sudanese, why are you voting? 99.9% of the people I've spoken to, when I asked them, why are you voting? They told me they want to be free. Are South Sudanese free now as we speak?
They are not. And in fact, the most disheartening thing about it all is that if you go back today and ask those people, if they had known the situation would be like this, would they have voted for independence? I would say a large majority of them would say no. We would not have voted if this was the way our country was going to be. If we had known this is where we are going, we probably would have second thought about independence. Because what difference does it make to be independent if you are going to live under a regime that is similar to what you are away from? What difference does it make to be a citizen in a nation and not a citizen in your tribe and in your region, far, far away from the reaches of the state? South Sudan is now a country that has no state structures. It is a country that does not have a nation. So all the basic things that it takes to build a modern state, we have failed entirely as a country. And independence has not borne fruit for us.
That's Jock Madu Jock, director of the SAD Institute. He was speaking to me from Kampala earlier today. Pope Francis has sent a message of solidarity to President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar through one of his top envoys, who is in Juba today. Cardinal Peter Kodwo Turkson arrived in Juba on Saturday for a four-day visit to the country. As Tito Justin reports for VOA from the capital, Cardinal Turkson was expected to meet with President Kiir today.
Cardinal Peter Kodwo Turkson, who is also president of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace at the Vatican, says he came to South Sudan to support church leaders in their efforts to promote peace and reconciliation in the country. His visit comes a week after deadly clashes between forces loyal to President Kiir and those loyal to First Vice President Riek Machar. Cardinal Turkson told reporters upon his arrival at Juba International Airport that Pope Francis is concerned about the suffering caused by the recent violence in Juba. The cardinal says it's unacceptable for leaders in the country to, quote, distress people as they exercise their power in South Sudan. He says the Vatican stands with the South Sudanese people during this difficult time and will support all efforts to restore peace as well as ease the suffering of the South Sudanese people.
The solidarity is very important because there's care ultimately for the lives of people here. And that's what the Pope would wish to address, you know. So to basically to tell the people of Sudan that we with you, we know what you're going through, and whatever, you know, on the part of the church is possible to do to bring peace and comfort to the people of Sudan.
Cardinal Turkson says leadership of any part of God's people is to ensure the common good of citizens. He says the leaders must protect their citizens.
When leadership doesn't ensure the well-being of people, then it's time to sit back and to reflect and see what is going wrong. You know, why is it that leadership is not ensuring the well-being of God's people? And that kind of self-examination needs to be done every now and then.
Archbishop of the Catholic Archdiocese of Juba, Most Reverend Paulino Lokuduloro, welcomed Cardinal Turkson to South Sudan and says church leaders are appealing for peace in South Sudan.
I call upon calm, peace, joy, and strength among the people to know that we are being blessed today in South Sudan. We are really being blessed. And that, I think, anybody taking up arms, bitter at heart, should be now happy and come out and begin to think and live peace at this moment.
Cardinal Turkson says Pope Francis asked him to convey to South Sudanese people that the entire world is concerned about everlasting peace. On Sunday, the Cardinal celebrated Mass at St. Teresa Cathedral in Kathol, where he urged the faithful not to give despite the recent violence that has left hundreds of people dead and thousands displaced from their homes. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Juba.
Still on matters of faith, church leaders and worshippers of different denominations prayed together for peace in South Sudan over the weekend following last week's deadly clashes. Tito Justin attended the service in Juba and has this report for VOA.
About 1,000 South Sudanese from various churches across the capital prayed together for peace on Saturday at Juba Christian Center in Juba. Congregants also prayed for those who lost their lives during the recent violence, as well as for families, especially the widows and children. Bishop Archangelo Wanilemi of the African Inland Church, who presided over the service, says churches of all faith must rise up and be different.
The church should, you know, rise above the status quo. If people are saying bad things, let us now begin to say good things. Let us step in the middle, in the gap, and rally our people for peace, rally our people to reconcile and to coexist.
The congregation also prayed for reconciliation among South Sudan's ethnic communities torn apart by conflict, and for the warring parties to forgive one another so that peace can prevail. Father David Tombe offered these words of advice for the leaders of South Sudan. Archbishop Daniel Deng Bull of the Episcopal Church of Sudan and South Sudan arrived in Juba from the United States in time for the service. Archbishop Bull warned South Sudanese in the diaspora against using social media to misinform the world about their country.
Put your people first, and then you come last. But if you put yourself to be first, this is where the problem is. And this is my call for our leaders to stop the senseless war that is going on.
Bishop Archangelo says, through prayer, South Sudanese will be united by the love of God. He told the congregation not to lose hope.
We were talking about how we as South Sudanese to work together, to come together and dialogue. Because in this country, if we don't dialogue together, we will not make it.
Bishop Archangelo says, the people of South Sudan need God's help and must humble themselves to obey God's command. For VOA News, I am Tiro Justin in Juba.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Thousands take cover from fighting at church compounds in Torit. But church leaders say they cannot feed all of the displaced. We'll have more on that story after this.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
Political conventions are a critical part of the American electoral process. Our job is to put the conventions, the candidates, and the issues into context for our listeners. Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the Republican and Democratic Party's conventions starting July 18th on VOA.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
should men and women be able to inherit property equally?
Men and women, they have the same rights. Who is these rights? And I think rights implies to any human being.
Yeah, men and women should be able to inherit property equally because we all both have the same rights. It doesn't matter whether you're a man or you're a woman.
I think, yes, they have to inherit property equally because even when it comes to religion aspect, both men and women are equal. So I don't see the point whereby men should inherit more than women.
Men and women can inherit all the properties equally, but it again based on the cultural setting of every community.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The Catholic Church is distributing food to hundreds of vulnerable people in Torit due to a shortage of food commodities in the town's market. Church leaders say the food they are distributing will only last a few days and are calling on aid agencies to help residents facing a looming food crisis. Dimo Silva Aurelio has the story for VOA from Torit.
That is some of the women scrambling for food at St. Teresa Primary School, one of the food distribution points in Torit town. The food items being distributed here include rice, maize flour, sugar, and oil. The charity Caritas International donated the food items, which are being distributed to more than 500 vulnerable households. The women say the food rations will sustain them for at least 3 days as they struggle looking for more food. Liberata Gudio is one of the beneficiaries. She says today she will be able to put some food on the table for her 4 children. She says for the past week she fed her children on only green vegetables.
Today my children will put something solid in the mouth. Even if it is only for 1 day, it's better than nothing. Their father died and I'm here trying to raise them up. I used to go to the bush and collect vegetable leaves to feed them.
Father Jacquino Lomogo is in charge of the food distribution. He says it is necessary that the Catholic Church uses the little funds to assist those who are disadvantaged at this critical moment of food shortages.
In fact, it is because of the situation. That's why Caritas Torres by then seem applied to Caritas South Sudan in order to assist people because of this hunger. And luckily enough, since it is not that can reach all the population, so the thought was that it will be distributed only just within the 2 parishes within Torit. So we have done this through the small Christian community, because by being in the small Christian community, there are those who are vulnerable and they know. So they have taken the initiative of first of all registering these elderly women and elderly men and widows and the children, the orphans.
Lomogo says the Catholic Church won't be able to feed all the food insecure people in Torit, but will lobby other aid agencies to provide food assistance to the area's residents.
If the road is open, of course there are those who are really generous. And through the asking and knocking the doors of those who can assist, I think things will go the right way. But as long as the roads are closed, definitely, for time being, I think this will be the sowing, or let's say, the beginning.
Last Friday, angry residents stormed the state government's cooperative shop, looting hundreds of bags of sorghum. The residents criticized the government for keeping food in the store while people are suffering. Mayor of Torit Town, Eddie Williams, says the food in the store is just too little to feed the town's population. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Torit.
From Torit, we move to the Rwandan capital, Kigali, where African heads of states are wrapping up African Union summit. The key items on the agenda include the conflict in South Sudan and the election of the new AU Commission chairperson. But the election was suspended after none of the candidates won necessary 2/3 majority votes. Nick Long reports for VOA from the AU summit in Kigali.
It was widely predicted that none of the 3 candidates for the post of AU Commission chairperson would win the necessary 2/3 of votes in the election Monday. Speaking to media, an AU commissioner, Martial de Paul Ikunga, confirmed this outcome.
Le vote a eu lieu. Il y a eu 51 pays qui sont exprimés.
He said the vote went ahead, 51 countries took part, 28 of those countries abstained, and 23 expressed a preference. But 23 is not 2/3. So the rules of the African Union were respected, he said. It is reported the Botswana Foreign Minister Pelonomi Vincent Moitoi topped the poll in the first round with 16 votes, while Equatorial Guinea Foreign Minister Agapito Mbamukui came second with 12, and Uganda's former Vice President Specioza Wandira Kazibwe picked up 11 votes and was eliminated in the first round. There is a precedent for this situation, Commissioner Ikunga told media.
Vous savez, c'est pas la première fois.
It's not the first time this has happened, he said. In January 2012, Jean Ping was asked to stay on as commission chairperson until June, when the current chair, Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma, was elected. There are reports that Dlamini Zuma will be asked to stay on, amid speculation that she may decline and her deputy Erastus Mwencha might stand in as interim chairperson. A legal counsel to the AU said the procedure for appointing an interim chairperson is contained in Article 42 of the General Assembly's rules and procedures. Other outcomes of this 27th summit of the AU, which ends Monday, will include a vote by the General Assembly on whether to accept Morocco's request to rejoin the Union. Morocco quit the AU's predecessor, the Organization of African Unity, in 1984 to protest its admission of the self-proclaimed Sahrawi Arab Democratic Republic, also known as Western Sahara, as a member. Morocco still lays claim to Western Sahara. The summit has also taken several steps to reinforce the African Union, including agreeing to a continent-wide tax to pay for the organization and launching an AU passport, and there may be a late announcement Monday on deployment of AU peacekeepers in South Sudan. Nick Long for VOA News, Kigali.
The regional bloc, IGAD, has called on forces loyal to President Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar to leave Juba and be replaced by a regional protection force that will take over security in the capital. On the sidelines of the African Union summit, Uganda's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Henry Okello Oryem, says the IGAD Plus leaders expressed support for the recommendations by the UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon to reinforce the UN mission in South Sudan. Meanwhile, he tells VOA's James Batty that the instability in South Sudan affects the East African region.
Today, IGAD had a meeting on South Sudan, and they re-emphasized the position that was agreed in Nairobi. But more importantly today, they will emphasize the need for militarizing Juba. They would like both forces of Riek Machar and Salva Kiir to be out of Juba, and they have suggested that a protection force composed of regional armies to be located in Juba to take charge of the security in that situation.
UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon put out a statement. He sounded very angry about the situation in South Sudan. He called for targeted sanctions, arms embargo, and strengthening the United Nations forces there. Does IGAD support the Secretary General's position?
IGAD, of course, has absolute sympathy with the position of the Secretary General Ban Ki-moon, who was here. So IGAD had a meeting today, and IGAD's position is that at this stage, what's important is demilitarizing Juba of all forces of Riek Machar and Salva Kiir, and we're moving in the regional forces to take charge of the security of Juba and the line and the districts. And then once the situation is pacified, then they will see how to move into other issues of embargo and travel ban and so on and so forth.
So, Minister, what are Ugandan troops doing in South Sudan? Because some people say you are there to protect President Salva Kiir.
That's rubbish. Absolute rubbish. Our troops in South Sudan, to the current Ugandans who are stranded in South Sudan, we have already evacuated over 5,000 of our nationality. We have helped evacuate people from other nationalities, Indians, Chinese, Nigerians, and many other African people. We are solely there to ensure that there's a safe passage for all those we are evacuating from the outskirts of Juba back into Uganda.
The African Union Commission is looking for a new chairperson, and Uganda, we understand, is one of the candidates. What are your chances there?
Our chances are very good. Our candidate is Dr. Steven Kazibwe, who served as a minister in President Museveni's government for many years, and then eventually was appointed the first woman vice president in Africa, where she served for 9 years. She's a doctor by profession, and for all intents and purposes, she meets the benchmark to be the chairperson of the AU Commission.
So what do you say to those who say that Uganda should not be qualified because of its democratic credentials are not that very good? They cite, for example, your treatment of the opposition during and after the last February election, the presidential election. What do you say to that?
I think there's something in the Bible where it says that he who has not committed any sin should cast the first stone. Whoever is saying that should first of all look at their own house and ask themselves shortcomings in their own administration, whoever it is, without exception.
Mr. Minister, the International Criminal Court has referred Uganda and Djibouti to the UN Security Council because it said you failed to arrest Sudanese President Omar al-Bashir when he visited your country earlier this year. What do you say to that?
I think the ICC has lost credibility. The ICC should listen to Africa. But if the ICC keep ignoring Africa and not listening to Africa's concern about the selective manner in which their exercises, they execute their justice. Unfortunately, that will be the beginning of the end of the ICC as we know it.
That's Uganda's Minister of Foreign Affairs, Henry Okello Oryem, speaking to VOA's James Batty earlier today from Kigali. You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Dam.
Thanks, John. A veteran South Sudanese journalist was arrested by South Sudan national security agents over the weekend. Alfred Taban, who owns the independent Juba Monitor newspaper, was picked up by security operatives on Saturday. Taban penned an editorial last week calling for President Salva Kiir and First Vice President Riek Machar to step down in order to salvage a chance for peace in the country. Jacques Madut Jacques, director of the Juba-based Sud Institute, says Taban's arrest is a violation of the journalist's constitutional rights. He calls Taban a freedom fighter who should be respected by the government. The analyst says Taban's arrest is clear proof that the Kiir administration is openly silencing critics of the government. Pope Francis is sending a message of solidarity to President Salva Kiir and Vice President Machar through one of his top envoys now in Juba. Cardinal Peter Kodwo Turkson of Ghana arrived in Juba on Saturday for a four-day visit to the country and is scheduled to meet with President Kiir today. Cardinal Turkson, who's also president of the Pontifical Council for Justice and Peace at the Vatican, says he also came to South Sudan to support church leaders in their effort to promote peace and reconciliation in the country. His visit comes on the heels of deadly clashes between forces loyal to President Kiir and those of the first vice president, Riek Machar, which has left hundreds dead in Juba. Cardinal Turkson says Pope Francis is concerned about the suffering caused by the recent violence, especially for women and children. The cardinal says it is unacceptable for leaders to, as he put it, distress people as they exercise their power in South Sudan. And finally, church leaders and worshipers of different denominations prayed together for peace in South Sudan over the weekend following last week's deadly clashes. About 1,000 South Sudanese from various church communities across the capital prayed together for peace on Saturday at Juba Christian Center. Congregants also prayed for those who lost their lives during the recent violence, as well as for their families. Bishop Arcangelo Wani Lemmy, who presided over the service, says churches of all faiths must rise up and be different. The bishop says the church, quote, should rise above the status quo. He says if people are saying bad things, they should start saying good things about each other. The congregation also prayed for reconciliation among South Sudan's ethnic communities torn apart by conflict and for the warring parties to forgive one another so that peace can prevail. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Freedom by Emi J. Yore.
Even though sorrow lasts for a night, surely joy comes in the morning. It's time for South Sudan to rejoice.
We've been listening to Emi Yore with the song Freedom. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being here. Tune in again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. And dance for